What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 483. And as you can see, I'm by myself. And that's because there's a possible tornado where Ryan lives in Wichita. So we hope that he's okay and that he makes it through all of that. He just called me really quickly to let me know. So like I said, hopefully things are okay with him over there. This week's podcast is brought to you by our friends over at MSI, and we have a quick video to show you showing off one of their latest liquid CPU coolers. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by MSI's MPG Core Liquid P13 liquid CPU coolers. These make use of a streamlined cable design where all the cables route into the sleeve tubing for a cleaner look. With the MSI Center software, you can easily configure the 2.1-inch circular LCD display, and there's so many different options to choose from. There's a single universal mounting bracket, so no more swapping out brackets, and there's even a cover to keep the whole thing looking clean. To learn more, check out thinkcomputers.org/P13. Alrighty, so we thank MSI for sponsoring this week's episode, and we have quite a lot to talk about. I took a look at a really cool, unique sort of tech accessory that can be really, really useful from Patriot. We, of course, have lots of news on what's going on with NVIDIA. They're bringing back the 3060, a new version of a 5050, and some other things going on with NVIDIA. Also, we are going to talk about the new MacBook Neo. So more affordable MacBook if you're on the Mac side, or if your laptop's a Mac, you might be able to get, you know, one for a lot cheaper. We have some new PC cases, one that was announced today that I think is super cool, and some pretty interesting gaming news. Valve is actually getting sued by the state of New York. So that is pretty interesting there as well. Now, if you guys did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page, which is going to be, I guess we'll make it like, since Ryan's on here, we'll make it like this. Our full show notes page. Let's see if we can remove this, add this. There we go. Our full show notes page right here that has everything that we are going to be talking about this week, all the links to everything. So if you do see something that we're talking about and you do want to reference it later, it is all going to be right here. Now, I took a look at the Patriot MD3030, and that is a pretty interesting little device. I think that if you actually have a use case for this, it can be incredibly helpful, especially if you're like traveling or something like that, or you need to present. This is a really, really cool device. So this essentially is a little dongle that gives you HDMI, built-in storage, and a powered USB port so you can still charge your device. So this really comes in handy, I would say, when it actually comes to like a mobile device like your phone. But you, of course, can use it as, you know, with your laptop as well. And I show those examples in the review. This thing is really tiny. As far as the internal storage goes, you can actually get it from 128 gigabytes all the way up to 1 terabyte. So lots of storage there, which is really cool. And this thing is like really, really small, easily fits in your pocket, can easily be thrown in a bag, super easy to travel with. It's only 21 grams, so really, really light there as well. And it's a super simple device. You can see right here, it kind of looks like, I wish I had it here, but I actually have it in my bag, so I was using it. But it almost looks like this, which is a card reader. And this is actually bigger than the actual Patriot one. And you can see we have a Type-C connection that's going to go right into your device. And then on the opposite side, you just have that HDMI, which is a full-size HDMI. And then you have a USB in port. And that's so you can keep your device charged, because especially our mobile devices like our phones, we don't have another port. So if we plug something into that Type-C, we can't charge it. This allows for that pass-through charging. Same thing with like a lot of thin and light tablets, or even, you know, certain laptops might only have one Type-C. So this allows you to use that Type-C, make use of it, but still power on your device. And you can do up to 100 watts through that. So fast charging for your phone, but also full charging for something like a laptop. John in the chat said, alone stream today. Yeah, Ryan, there is a tornado warning in his area. He's having really bad storms, so we hope he's okay. He said he would try and pop in if he can, but we would rather him be safe with his kids and his family as opposed to doing the podcast. So if he jumps in, he'll be in, but if not, like I said, we hope he is okay. But moving on to this, like I said, incredibly simple device. And talking about it being simple, one of the things I really like about this is a lot of dongles, especially when it comes to using them on something like an iPhone, require certain apps to work and things like that. This essentially is just plug and play. So all you have to do is plug it in. So when you go ahead and plug it in, here it is connected to my iPhone. I have Fortnite up here. I have power going into my phone, so I'm still, you know, powering my iPhone. And then we have full-size HDMI going out to a monitor, and you can kind of see what this looks like. So this is like the ideal circumstance for this device. If you're a gamer and you want to play games, you know, that you would normally play on your phone, you know, with, say, we had a controller, like a Bluetooth controller, but you want to play on a larger screen, this allows you to do that. And again, especially when it comes to monitors, you know, a lot of the monitors don't have like a smaller DisplayPort connection, like a mini that might work with an adapter cable. This gives you full-size HDMI out, so you can HDMI out to a larger screen. This also makes it really good if you're like traveling and, you know, the TV that's in the hotel room only has that full-size HDMI. So this just allows you to easily connect that, which I think is really great. So it just, again, just outputs up to 4K 60 hertz, or 4K 60, I believe, or 4K 30, but it outputs up to 4K. So easily able to display a game, say, from your mobile device. I also went and tested it on my laptop. So here it is plugged into my laptop. As you can see, again, power into this, and this does pull 100 watts on my laptop. So easily just boom, power right in there, and then HDMI out. So now we can, you know, you can either extend your desktop or have a secondary desktop, really easy to go ahead and do that. And again, no drivers are needed, no installation, no software. It just works. And I think it's really, really simple. Now, the internal storage, we had the 512 gigabyte version. This is not a portable SSD, so you're not going to get portable SSD storage speeds here. So you can see the speeds here, about 100 megabytes a second. It is embedded storage, but it still gives you that extra storage, which I think is good, especially again, more on the mobile device side, but it does give you that extra storage. So it's really easy to use this. And again, here's the ideal setup with, again, with a mobile device. Really easy, just like I said, to go ahead and set this up. We have, what is your name? Elbash Awatz in the chat. Good to see you here as well. If you do have a question or anything, just let us know. And I really like this device. I think it's super simple. That's the biggest thing when it comes to any of these dongles or devices, is just works, right? You just plug it in and it just simply works. And that's what this does right here. So, it outputs up to 4K 60. So that's really nice. It is for the 512 gig version that I reviewed, it is $49.99. And if you don't need the internal storage, you can buy dongles that they're probably larger, but they will give you that full-size HDMI output for cheaper. So it just depends on if you really, you know, need that extra storage. I would say if you don't need the storage, there are dongles that are cheaper, but if you do need the storage, this is a small device that just works and it's really, really easy. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Like I said, there are cheaper options out there. The built-in storage is not dedicated like portable SSD storage, which is a little bit disappointing. And then it will likely block other ports on your laptop. So if you saw in the previous page, when I have it connected to the laptop, like it, you know, it's horizontal like this. So it will block other ports that are around your type C. So just definitely keep that in mind. But I think it's a cool little device. I think it works quite well. And like I said, I no apps, no software needed. It just works right off the bat. And I think that's definitely a good thing. So that is our review for the week. And then we'll move on here to Case Mod Friday. And that's, of course, where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have Blue Horse Studios, and we have their Resident Evil Requiem mod. And this is a really, really cool mod. I love Blue Horse Studios, and they're really like, they really get the theme of certain builds. And this isn't like a crazy in-depth build. As you can see, it uses an AIO, but their custom vinyl work to really hit that Resident Evil theme, I think, is really cool. And it just looks like, look at the back here with that custom vinyl. It just looks awesome. Reminds me a lot of an old school mod. And I think it looks really, really cool. You can see the AIO that's being used here, and it's kind of hard to see, but there's actually some vinyl work right here on the motherboard as well. So really like that. I just think it looks good. And they actually did the vinyl on a monitor too. So I think that's really cool. I don't know if any of you guys have played the new Resident Evil. I have not. I played Resident Evil so long ago. I never got into the newer games, but apparently this sold really well. So if any of you guys are playing it, definitely let me know. But yeah, I just, like I said, I really like this mod. It's kind of, like I said, reminds me of more of an old school mod, but I love these theme mods after games or movies. And I think they killed it, especially with all of the vinyl work. And again, you can see some of that vinyl work right here on the motherboard itself, which again looks really, really cool. So shout out to Blue Horse Studios for this one. And if you ever wanted to like look at case mods or check out all the case mods we have on the site, if you go here to articles and then go to Case Mod Friday, and then you can essentially just like scroll for forever, because we've been featuring mods and builds for years, and you can just scroll, as like I said, essentially forever to check out all of these crazy mods and builds. Also, we have a new contest. So our friends over at ASRock have hooked us up with their Phantom Gaming B860 Lightning Wi-Fi motherboard. Super easy to enter this one. If you're looking for the contest page on the website, all you have to do is go to contests right here, click on that. And then this one right here, win a ASRock Phantom Gaming. And then we do all of our contests through Gleam. So you have to subscribe to our email newsletter. And then once you do that, there's 20 more ways to enter once you go through once you subscribe to the email newsletter. It's like subscribing to our YouTube and other things like that gives you entries to, you know, enter this, and so you guys can go ahead and win. This one is US only, so keep that in mind. Our next group of contests will be worldwide, so definitely stay tuned for those. But you know, big shout out to ASRock for hooking us up with this and giving you guys an awesome prize. There's 15 days left in this, so you know, we'll talk about it next week on the podcast as well. But like I said, get your entries in. And we may add some extra ways to get entries, so always check back to see if we add some more things. But really easy to get your entry in for this one. Of course, we always want to give back to you guys. So, and like I said, we have some more contests coming up this month and then some more next month. So definitely stay tuned for those as well. And we'll move on to news. And I feel like we're going very quickly because Ryan is not here. So we're going to talk about the RTX 3060 is coming back. So obviously with the RAM shortage and all of the other shortages that are kind of going on right now because of the demand for AI, getting graphics cards and things like that is kind of getting harder these days. If you looked at prices, they've gone up. It looks like NVIDIA is going to start producing the RTX 3060 again. And this just makes sense. It's a very affordable graphics card. And the memory that's on it is more widely available. And to get graphics cards out at a decent price, this kind of makes sense for them to do. So it just seems like this is kind of where we're at as opposed to getting, you know, like refreshes and things like that. We're going to bring back older cards that we've had for a long time. And I think that's kind of where we're at with the memory shortage. I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing, but at the same time, kind of sucks that this is where we're at, as you know, when it comes to graphics cards these days. But I guess, again, this is NVIDIA's way of trying to bring out a card that obviously will work at a price that's not crazy because of the, you know, memory shortages that are going on right now. So that's kind of where it's at. And it looks like this actually is happening. We had another story talking about that NVIDIA is going to use, I believe, Samsung or TSMC, I forget, Samsung or TSMC to produce these and get these out to you guys. So like I said, if you can't find an affordable graphics card sort of in this 3060 performance bracket, these should be coming out again soon and you should see them, which, like I said, is not necessarily a horrible thing. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's kind of sucks. Also, an RTX 5050 as a 9 gig variant. So NVIDIA is going to use the 3 gig dies for the GDDR7. So a new variant of a 5050 will be coming out. That's going to be 9 gigs instead of 8 gigs. So it's like, oh, look here, you get an extra gigabyte and it's GDDR7. That's kind of what's going on with this. It just makes sense because, again, they have the newer 3 gig dies on there for the VRAM. Again, this is where we're at because, yeah, in this variant, we'll also utilize a narrower 96-bit bus to get that higher bandwidth due to faster GDDR7. Yeah, we're not getting new cards. We're getting kind of rehashes of older cards, and it's kind of where we're at because, again, a lot of people are kind of looking in this price range, and with the cost of memory, this just makes sense for NVIDIA to do. So no word yet on what the cost of this variant will be, and as prices continually go up, we'll kind of see what's going on with that. Also, NVIDIA now has 94% of the AIB CPU market. And this kind of makes sense. I mean, NVIDIA for the longest time has had such a stranglehold on the graphics card market. And the latest reports show that that they now have 94% of the AIB CPU GPU markets. AMD dips down to 5%. They were at 7%, and if you look at Q4 2024, AMD was actually at 15%. Then they went to 7%, then they went to 5%. That's kind of interesting because I feel like there's still like a lot of AMD fanboys out there, and I feel like there's like a lot of my friends have gone the AMD route when it went to graphics cards, especially with the popularity of like Ryzen CPUs. A lot of people are like, I'm doing an all AMD build. So, you know, they get their X3D processor and then they get, you know, an AMD graphics card. But again, NVIDIA has that high end market. There's no competition in the super high end market, 5090, 5080. You know, there's no competition there from AMD. So they capture that. And again, AMD only went after like one sort of price point when it came to their latest graphics cards. But it is kind of interesting to see, you know, and then Intel is at that 1%, which is kind of expected based on their offerings. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this shakes up over the next couple of years, especially again with the RAM shortage going on and everything else. But it is kind of, like I said, I'm kind of surprised to see NVIDIA or AMD go from 15% in Q4 24 to 5% in Q4 25. So in a year, they went from 15% to 5% of the market. And it looks like Ryan has survived.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, we're good. Thankfully, okay. You know, things went south of us, but there was rotation and like, just like a couple miles south of us. That's which is crazy. Like when you're like, or it was a little southwest of us and like headed our direction. So I got to get the kids and the pets and the wife. And
yeah, just, of course.
You know, you got to do all this prep work. And I'm like,
you called me.
Like,
and I, I could barely, so Ryan called me like right before the podcast starts and I'm like, oh, is he like telling, you know, and then he kind of sounded a little frantic on the phone. I'm like, dude, don't, I was like, be safe. Don't even worry about the podcast, dude. Just go. Like, you know, so, you did say John
I saw that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was sending you prayers and making sure you're okay. So we're glad you're okay.
Yeah. No, everything's good. We're good.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
What are we talking about?
Well, first I was going to say, that's one thing I don't miss about, you know,
any severe weather. If any,
yeah. Kind. Cause I mean, like the storms, I always liked watching kind of the storms roll in. We never really had, there had been at times like, tornadoes around Pittsburgh area, but not a lot. Like are you kind of in that sort of tornado?
Yeah.
Alley,
yeah. We're
cause you guys are like very, yeah. You guys are very flat.
We're at the top. Right? Oh yeah.
Yeah. You guys are super flat. So it's yeah.
Yeah, we're on the northern kind of part of Tornado Alley, okay. But still very much in it. So,
well, like I said, we're glad you're okay, and we're glad that you could make it to the podcast. I was just talking to myself, so it felt a little weird. I felt like I tuned into my good friend Winston, FunkyKit.com, his podcast, and he does it by himself. And so, yeah, I felt like
That's a whole another set of skills to do it solo.
Yeah, I feel like I was going really fast because we were like 20 minutes in and I'm like already in the news. Like, but anyways, what we were talking about is NVIDIA's dominance in the AIB market. So in Q4 2024, you can look at the graph here, and NVIDIA had 84% of the AIB market when it comes to graphics cards, and AMD had 15%, which I feel is quite good. Yeah. And then a year later, in Q4 25, NVIDIA soared to 94%, and AMD went down to 5%.
Jeez.
And I was talking about how, you know, the latest AMD graphics cards, they went for that one specific price point. They didn't compete at the high end. I do feel that AMD has come quite a long way with, like, you know, driver updates and giving, you know, they have the same type of technologies now as far as like, multi-frame generation and things like that. And, you know, I still feel that like NVIDIA is the top dog when it comes to that stuff. Sure. But at the same time, and I'm kind of surprised, I was talking about too, is like, I know a lot of people that have bought AMD graphics cards lately.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
And I was saying that like a lot of people were like, I'm doing an all AMD build, because most people who are built, who in the past like year to 2 years, who were building gaming PCs, they were like, I'm getting my X3D processor, so then I'm going to get like an AMD graphics card. And like, it's not like they work, you know, it's not like it works better together per se compared to NVIDIA, but like, I think for a lot of people that's like their rationale. It's like, oh, it's just going to work better. It's all AMD. So it's kind of, you know, losing that 10% market share in a year is kind of crazy.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like,
well, you say 10%, but it's, they lost 2/3 of their share. Cause going from 15 to 5, you know, they've only got 1/3 of what they had.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. So yeah, it's
and it's not like those cards are bad. Like the current generation of those cards aren't bad. Like you said, though, they kind of targeted a certain slice like I said, of that pie, and so you just don't have as much.
And I do feel that like when people are building a new PC, that's like their big investment, right? So, you know, well, I can't talk about now because of the RAM prices, but like, you know, people are like, oh, I'm going to spend $3,000, I'm going to spend $4,000, and like they want the best graphics card, and AMD is not competing at 5080. 5090 level. So that could be where that, you know, all that market share went. But yeah, that's kind of, like I said, kind of staggering. We'll see how this changes over the next year. I think it'll probably remain the same. Like I said, there's a ton of AMD fanboys out there. And also I don't feel like the AMD cards are bad. Like they're not bad.
Not at all.
So we'll see how that shakes up over the next year. This is a story that I put in here for you, so I'm glad you jumped in right here. So the new World of Warcraft Midnight Revealed, is that what it's called?
What's that?
Or World of Warcraft Midnight. That's the Midnight, new expansion. Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So MSI has teamed up with Blizzard, of course, who makes World of Warcraft, for some custom 5070s, which again, I guess that makes sense because that's like the affordable performance GPU. So we have two cards here.
And WoW wasn't like crazy, you know, like performance demanding by any means.
Yeah. And it seems like MSI is getting into this sort of custom thing. They just, today they have another custom GPU and some keyboard and mouse for some anime that I saw. We didn't do a story on it, but I saw it this morning. So I like this stuff. Of course, we know like Hite is really big on their kind of integrations with games and anime and stuff. So it's good to see, like, if MSI gets into this more, maybe we'll see more of these. For World of Warcraft, which again is not like a, I mean, it's not as popular as it was, but it's still a pretty big franchise. So we have the darker card
for the void,
and then we have the lighter card. We could take a look at these. And again, it's like the same. I'm going to be like, it's the same design as far as.
The reason it is, though, is because like Midnight, because it makes sense from the game perspective, right?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the design of the card. It's just an MSI card with different colors.
Just different color. I got
you. And like a custom backplate. Like, I'm that person, when I see a custom card, I'm like, I want custom design. Mm-hmm. But again, you can't do that because they have to like retool all the machines to make all these things, and it just doesn't make sense financially. But yeah, I think these are cool. I think that if, you know, you were super big into WoW, you know,
I'd like to see dueling systems with these, right?
Funny enough,
void build and a light build.
Funny enough, who did that? Hall of Tech and Tech Tesseract. They both.
Yeah,
they did. At least I saw it really quick. I scrolled through. You know how you're scrolling through social media.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that they did that. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they did. So if you want to see it, they did dueling systems where one was one and one was the other. So pretty cool. But yeah, pretty cool cards. Like I said, I'm like a fan of any kind of custom card, you know. And again, if you're a fan of World of Warcraft, these could be something that you might want to pick up. I assume there's a slight premium on these. It doesn't say.
There can't be too much because it's like you said, it's just a refresh or a reskinning of
an existing card. Reskinning. That's what I like to call it. Yeah, that's a good name for this reskinning. But yeah, check those out if you are interested. Now, I was talking about this at the beginning of the podcast with Ryan Mist, is that Apple did announce a more affordable MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured we should talk about it. We did do a story on it. The entry for a MacBook of any type was always, unless you were buying used or something like that. But if you're buying new from Apple, $1,000 doesn't matter. $1,000, right? And with, again, you know, and it's so hard to compete because like on the super low end, you had Chromebooks, which are like a couple hundred dollars. And then you can always find like that sort of entry level laptop around $399, something like that, from so many other brands. So you would think that like Apple's losing that market. Do they want that market? I don't know, but they were losing that sort of, you know, $500 to $800 kind of market, right? Because again, their entry was always $1,000. And you might say that like Steve Jobs is like rolling over in his grave because he wanted, this is the premium, so you're going to pay the premium. It doesn't matter. Right. And we've always said that, because if you look at like specs of like a MacBook, you're like, wait a minute.
Why is this?
Why is this so expensive? and especially if you look at like the Mac Pro,
the
trash can and like, yeah. But in any case, so this is the new Neo, has four different colorways, which I'm actually a fan of. And again, this makes it more appealing for like teens and kids and stuff like that. $600. So that's good. It uses an iPhone chip, which again, I think makes sense here. iPhone's incredibly powerful. It uses their A18 Pro. And again, if you're using this as a word processor, as a browser, you can still do other, I mean, I've edited video on my iPhone. You know what I mean? Like, you can do all of that with that A18. Metal body, which again is, it's good. So it's not like cheap plastic.
Yeah,
and I believe 8 gigs in that $699, or was it $599 price? 8 gigs of memory. So I still think it's a good price. I don't know what your thoughts are on it.
It runs Mac OS too, right?
Yeah.
256 gigs of storage. Like, I don't know that I see any issues with this. What's the screen? 1080p maybe? Do we know?
Let me see. I don't remember.
Because, yeah, I mean, I think this is a great entry level
tech specs
system, you know? Like,
so for $599, the A18 Pro 6-core CPU, 5-core GPU, 8 gigabytes of memory, and that's soldered.
Inch. Oh, 2408 by 1506. Okay. I mean, that's.
Yeah, it's like one of their Retina displays too. So it's, I believe. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. So it's a liquid Retina. I feel like they're going to lose money on this initially, especially with like, as again, the cost of memory goes up. It's only 8 gigs, but still.
This is one that this is what you roll out in like a Verizon store or something, like buy an iPhone and you get this. And but you sell this for $600 at Verizon, so you're getting them for like an iPhone and this, and then you sell it yourself for like $800.
Yeah,
this seems too cheap.
USB-C, so it's USB 3.2 Gen 2, right here, and then USB 2, which is also a Type-C, which I actually like. Obviously, no card slot, which we lost those a long time ago on Apple products. 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. Both ports support charging. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So if you had a faster device connected to this,
I wonder if it's like one of them supports higher, you know, throughput on that or anything. Old man says the laptop is $500 with a student discount.
Ooh, $500 with a student discount. I just saw some video pop up on my feed that was like how to get an EDU email address so you can get student discounts.
I mean,
yeah. And it supports external display for 4K 60 output. And so the Magic Keyboard on the $599, and then there's the Touch ID on the one that's $699. And Wi-Fi 6E has a built-in camera, 1080p. Yeah, like I said, I like it.
Yeah,
0.5 inches.
I think this is a good entry.
Yeah.
Don't expect it to be a MacBook Air or a, you know,
do you think it's standard MacBook. Do you think it's better than a Chromebook?
Probably. I mean, the metal body right there is nice enough. Now, will it show up in a bunch of schools? I'm sure some districts will end up with this in there, but... They don't have the ecosystem that Google has, right, to go with the Chromebook.
Yeah, it would be nice to see, like, again, a, you know, Apple to run a phone plus this deal or something. Or like you said, like an AT&T or Verizon do something, or even like a Walmart where sell the, yeah, like some type of deal where you get some discounts.
Especially if you could throw a 5G card in this thing or get a 5G model.
I don't think.
Either. No, I know it will be cool though.
Like, yeah. It'd be cool. Yeah. Cause like they did that. I know like Walmart for a while had like a buy a phone, get an iPad thing or something. So yeah, I like it. Like I said, you can pre-order it now. What color would you get? The silver? I like the indigo. Like the
indigo's not bad. Yeah. Silver or indigo.
I don't know about the citrus though.
I think the silver gets too dirty, mate. Well, actually, you know, I have essentially a silver laptop now that I use, and it's fine. So, yeah, silver or indigo.
Yeah, I think those are good. But yeah, cool. So yeah, see what happens there. And you know, if this goes well, we could over time, as things get cheaper, when it, you know, see one with like a M1 in it or something.
Eventually, be even better, yeah.
You know, like, you know, because cool. Again, they're gonna not have the use for those chips over time. So we'll see how all of that goes. But pretty cool. Like I said, I definitely like it. Kind of surprising, but definitely like it. Now, here's something I don't like, and I really, really don't. I don't want to be going this route. And with like all the memes of like, you know, we're gonna just stream everything because we can't afford our computers and RAM so expensive and stuff like that. That I see all over social media. Windows is back with the dumb terminal. And if you don't know what that means you just log in and everything that you do, including your Windows experience, is all done on the cloud. So we have new Windows 365 cloud PCs. Windows 365 was the first device for it was the Windows 365 Link that came out in 2024. There hasn't been much to that. Well, both Asus and Dell have come out with devices for this. The Asus NUC 16 and the Dell Pro Desktop. So these are like small little devices that just give you that login essentially and a couple, you know, some interface to Windows 365, and everything is done on the cloud. You can see how small these are. So like, you know, just like a little NUC, and, you know, it gives you some connectivity. So if you want to transfer files and things like that, but that's all it is. And there's the Dell one, essentially the same thing. These like little kind of, you know, small little devices that, yep. Again, you're not doing anything on these devices except for having an interface with Windows 365.
Right. No thanks.
Yeah. Oh, well, for us, no thanks. But do you think this is going to become more popular? Like, would you see schools doing this?
Maybe, because
I could see businesses doing this. But the biggest thing when it comes to like schools and business is like, what if the data center goes down?
Sure. Well, I mean, that's just you have to factor that into your whole business model of, hey, we're doing everything in the cloud. What happens if the cloud goes down?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see some businesses utilizing this in certain instances. You don't have to worry about like securing a device like a laptop, right? You get a laptop to somebody, and depending on your security posturing and everything like that, you may have files on that machine that if it gets lost or stolen or that employee quits and doesn't return it, right? If you don't have good data protection, data loss protection, things like that, your data's out and you have no control over it. Whereas with this, that's just connecting you to an environment that you have full control over if you set it up correctly, and has a lot of benefit. So
yeah, not a fan of this. Next, we'll see a gaming version.
We have that. It's just you're using your PC or your old gaming PC to stream, you know, from Nvidia or whoever. But yes, we 100% will.
Yeah. Old man says we're going back to the 70s when people were using dumb terminals. They scoffed at people owning their own PCs because of cost and size. And yeah, people are going to be like, oh yeah, you took all of our memory for your personal computer. We need it for the cloud.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I feel like that's what's going to happen, you know, soon enough. So we'll see what happens with this. Obviously Brian and I are not a fan. Also, you know, RAM shortage and pricing is the biggest thing. We talked about it with the Neo, and I like the pricing of the MacBook Neo. It is a good price for what it is. But a lot of like those, you know, again, you see those $399, $499 PCs. You also see those $399, $499 laptops a lot. And then you have that like Black Friday deal, which is like $299 for like a laptop. And, you know, and because prices were, especially with memory, were like very much kind of just a flat line, you know, you could do those prices and do those deals, and as you know, you could still make money. It's been predicted by 2028, the sub $500 PC is just going to be gone. yeah, just gone, because you can't sell them for that price, because the RAM and SSD prices are just too expensive these days. It says global PC shipments are expected to drop by 10.4% in 2026. And longer PC upgrade cycles, that's definitely expected as well. Yeah.
Well, and it's like,
yeah, and I just got like an offer to do a review of a entry level PC. And it's $1,200, which is like pretty good price, I guess, but it's still like, you know, based on, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Like we've also told that, like, oh, things get better and faster and we become more efficient with things and that drives down price, right? But that's not the case, right? It's not even because of a whole nother industry that is spinning up and taking away from something that should be able to come down in price or just be such a commodity that it's disappearing because of that.
Yeah.
That stinks.
I mean, I think this is a bigger killer to the laptop industry as opposed to the desktop PC. I don't know how you feel about that, but like, again, these laptops that are, you know, $399, $499, they go on sale for, you know,
I just can't imagine using a machine that has that price point anyways, but
I mean, dude, I remember getting a netbook to review. Remember the netbook?
I know, but they were never good.
Yeah, so, they were. Like, yeah, netbook was never good.
Even if you had the top of the line netbook, they were still trash.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it kind of sucks. Like I said, it's, you know, and again, like you think of like kids. I remember saving up for my first computer back in the day. And like now that entry level is so much higher, right? At least double now. So that kind of sucks for those people.
And you can't even tell people to go, well, just get used instead, right? Like, well, used is going to be a generation or two old, and you're going to pay how much you would used to pay for a new car.
And the thing is, too, is that, like, if it's a first-time person, like, they don't know what they're looking at.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're in the store, like, you know what you're looking at, essentially. Or, like, you know... But if you're buying parts or even buying an older pre-built or so, like, you don't know what it is half the time. So, yeah, not a fan, but that's kind of where I guess we are headed. So yeah, Steam Machine. We've been talking about Steam Machine. Hasn't come out yet. And we're getting close to through Q1 here. But Valve has confirmed that it will launch. It will launch, what did they say? First half of 2026.
Well, we're into the third month.
Yeah. So they were on the podcast and they talked about it.
Well, they just softened their commitment to hope to ship in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we hope to ship in 2026. I don't even know like how you bring this thing out. Because again, if it's like $1,500, who's buying it?
Someone that doesn't have a machine and doesn't want to hassle with it? I mean, there's an audience for it.
It doesn't run Windows.
I know.
So it's strictly a gaming machine.
I know.
You know, again, like if you look at like I said, this is not gonna be for like I don't know what people were expecting. Like even based on the specs, like say before the RAM shortage, what were we saying for price before the RAM shortage?
We'd have to go back and look, but I don't think 400 was ever a price point.
For some people it was, because they're like, oh, it's gonna compete with like a Xbox or PlayStation. And just to give you an idea, because just in the chat, you know, because like we, you know, say we expected this to be $899, right?
Sure.
Before the RAM shortage, like old man in the chat says, my 32 gig RAM kit that was $90 a few years ago is now listed on Amazon for $420.
Right, and it's not like it's a faster speed or anything. It's probably the same exact kit, same speeds, everything. Like,
and if this does launch, it's not going to be a big launch. You just can't get, unless they're like getting the RAM from who knows, like for the Chinese memory, which again, there's already a lot of brands using it, the YXMT or whatever it is. I don't know how you put this out
and make any money or sell many of them.
Yeah. Old Man says it was speculated at $699 for the base model. So let's just say that doubles, right? That's conservative, I guess.
Yeah.
Or say it a little bit less than doubles, right? So that puts it over $1,000. Who's paying over $1,000 for a Steam machine that, again,
for a console?
But it, again,
it's just a console.
Yeah, it's console because it doesn't run Windows. It runs Steam right. OS, which is Linux. So you can't do anything else with it, right? So yep. Why would you buy this instead of a Windows machine?
Right, that can double as a standard computer.
Or even like a gaming handheld, a Windows gaming handheld.
There you go.
That can also run Windows, and you can dock, and you can also take it with you.
Yeah.
Cavity Creep in the chat, he said his $220 of 64 gigabytes CL30 is now $1,200.
Jeez.
What's going on? Oh, man. Yeah, it is. Oh, man. Yeah, and again, like, what have we heard, Ryan? 2028, at least, you know, we've heard some to like 2030 until this.
I don't know. I just, there was a story and we're not covering it, but it has to do with data centers and Oracle and OpenAI not kind of backing out of a deal with
I heard about
Oracle that. So maybe that, you know, maybe there's some changes, and that's such a volatile market, you know, they're backing out because of like the acceleration. They're not going to be able to even use this data center. The stuff they want to put in, it's going to be a year or two old by the time they get it. So
I maybe also saw this.
There'll be enough pain points, you know, to.
I saw this. I forget where I saw it. It might have been on Twitter or X, but it was like the money burn of the AI startups compared to like other startups over time. And like some of the big startups that didn't make money, you know, until they finally became profitable. And like the money burn of like OpenAI is insane. Like the insane amount of money that they've burned. And they're not profitable yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be one of those things.
Somebody needs to give me money and I will just not make a profit on it. But
yeah. Yeah. So, well, like I said, we'll see about the Steam machine. I was like, so hoped for the Steam machine. I like Steam hardware. I think it's cool. And I was hoping for like an affordable way to get more people into PC gaming. So yeah, we'll like I said, we'll keep you guys updated on that one. But talking about something that like brings back the memories. Did you have an Antec 900?
Yes. In fact,
the original. Let me see if I have pictures of the original.
I have. Well, let me.
Hold.
Wait, that's not the one I had. I'm gonna find out which one I had.
Here's one. You can buy it on eBay for $229. That's some of the older ones. Here's the one with the big fan in the back. Oh, shout out to Tech Power Up, who has this on their site.
So I had that. I reviewed that, the 900 too.
Yeah.
I reviewed that for Bjorn 3D back in the day.
Here's another one.
And then I had like a P91H or a P something that had a door on the front. And I just
the 1200. I remember the 1200. That thing was massive.
Or maybe I had the 12. I had the 1200 because it had three 120 fans in the front, and they each had their own like fan controller.
Yeah.
With a little dial. Yeah. I either had the 902 or I had the 1200. I don't remember. It was one of those. And I just got rid of it at a garage sale like 3 years ago.
So people like don't understand how like this was the case. The Antec 900 was like the case that everybody had this case.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most popular cases at its time period when it came out, it just was. Antec is now reviving it. So, and this story also makes it like, the Antec 900 kind of makes sense for this, but like their whole thing is like, we revived the Antec 900 for AI and workstations, and then like gaming's at the end. Like, oh, you can also
and gaming, you know.
Yeah. I hope that's not the way that we're going, but this is what it looks like. It looks pretty beefy and like big. Yeah, you know,
it's big.
Yeah. Supports not only EATX, but the SSI CEB, SSI EEB, you know, stuff for Threadripper, stuff for high-end desktop, all of that. Supports a 420 millimeter radiator in the front, multiple graphics cards, long graphics cards. It's very clean.
It is. I like the look of it.
Very, very clean for Antec. Sleek. Definitely like it. I mean, lots of space, as you can see.
Tons of cooling. Yeah.
Yeah. Tons of cooling. Like I said, you could do a 420 in the front.
I like this. The thing that was cool about that original like 900 and 1200 was right behind those fans were your drive cages. And they, if I'm not mistaken, had like rubber grommets to like reduce the vibration. But they were like right in line with the fan. So you get direct cooling on those drives. Obviously, 3.5-inch drives aren't the main feature of our builds anymore. So they kind of tuck them at the bottom there.
You have four 3.5-inch bays right here. You have two 2.5-inch trays here. And then there's two more on the other side. There's two more right here. So lots of storage if you want to do a storage heavy build or something like that. I like this thing. $250 or like 270. Well, I don't know the conversion. 289, 249. Like $250, I guess. Which I think feels fine. Yeah, 9 hard drive bays, aluminum and steel. So yeah, I think the at least the front panel and top panel are probably aluminum. Looks like, or maybe the frame is too. Looks nice though. I like it. Yeah, I really really like this thing. Just brings back those old memories too. So. Oops. So, yeah, definitely like it. Definitely a fan. I hope we're not going the way of, this awesome new gaming, this awesome new case, but we've made it for AI and workstation. And then, yeah, you can use it for gaming too.
You could, we guess you could.
This next one is definitely for gaming. This next one is for gaming. I think this is super cool. So colorful. You know, they make some really awesome graphics cards. Like their iGame series is kind of iconic, and it has like the screen, the pop-off screen, and it's really cool. What if Colorful made a custom case for those cards that was like a small, it was just like the perfect case, mini ITX case for those big-ass cards?
Yeah.
What if they did that?
Well, I think they did.
Yeah, they did.
It looks
this is awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
So this is the iGame Lab Vulcan Armor, and it's a mini ITX case for their RTX 50 series GPUs. And as you can see, the GPU fits in there perfectly because this case is designed for those specific GPUs. Yeah. And the screen, because the GPU is like this, the actual screen that the pop-off screen that comes on the GPU can be moved, and we have a picture of it. There's a placement for it on the chassis itself with the Pogo connections, so it still works and everything like that. If you look at like it, 240 millimeter radiator for your mini ITX, your graphics cards on the other side, perfect spacing, SFX power supply, everything kind of goes together. Somebody in our comments on Twitter was like, it's like a boom box.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
It's one of those cases where you're like, you would expect to see this on one of our Case Mod Friday articles, right? Somebody's made this to fit around it, and it looks like a prop. Again, I'm going to go back to like a movie prop. Like, this looks like some sort of futuristic space health kit or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I really like this. It's cool.
Yeah. Super, super cool. Do we have pricing on this thing? I don't think there's pricing. Let's see. Colorful website. Take forever to load. Yeah, no pricing yet. But I like it. I think it's cool.
That's not how you mount the radiator in colorful Vulcan case. 5-year-old mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I said, pretty cool. You know. He said, hello, guys. What time is it there? Well, I'm on the West Coast of the United States. It is 6:56 p.m. What time is it there, Ryan?
8:56.
8:56 on Ryan's side. So, yes. 2:55 a.m. So, where are you? Okay. Well, the page is no longer there, so I can't tell you. But, yeah, I think this is super cool. And I love when, like, again, to get something like this that would fit the GPU perfectly, you won't find. Because a right. company's not going to make a case that just is just made for a specific size GPU for the most
part. At first, I thought this was just like an external GPU enclosure like we've seen before. But nope, it's a full-blown system.
Yeah, so pretty cool. Shout out to Colorful for this one. This is definitely really cool. Saw this the other day, or was it last week I saw this? Maybe. So, Amazon has those like pallets that you can buy.
Return pallets, yeah.
Return pallet. There's like maybe a couple photos of it, and then you buy it and you get it. Like, you buy it like per pound or some. I don't know how that works. There's a bunch of websites that do it. I don't know if you can do it directly through Amazon. Like, I don't know how that works. There's like some YouTube channels where people do it. It's pretty interesting if you've ever watched this.
It can be, yeah.
Well, somebody found $10,000 of DDR5 in an Amazon return pallet. I believe they paid $100 for the return pallet. And this is 40 sticks of Kingston DDR5 Fury Beast 16 gig, which are currently retailing for about $250 each. So just one of them.
More than doubled their.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So this is what they found in the return pallet was a box filled with DDR5.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it works, right? I wonder if those sticks were each one's opened or if it was just like a mistake and so they returned it and didn't
even open stuff. Yeah, or maybe somebody was doing like a bunch of builds and then they like decided to go, oh, I'm going to get Corsair instead or something or Crucial or whatever it was at the time. It's DDR5 5600. Damn. I mean, that's a nice little, you know?
Keep a couple and get rid of the rest.
Yeah, I would be selling these for sure.
If you're, you know, if that's even your thing, like if you're not a computer person, right? But you just ended up with this, yeah, get rid of all of them.
Yeah,
we assume just because it's, you know, cool to us that
or oh, you they're sell gonna, they're gonna use or you it, right? Or you know, this is non RGB memory, so like you sell a couple and then buy like a nicer RGB kit if you want it or something.
But this could just be a person that doesn't give a crap about computers and building. And then it's just straight profit. Like for us, I'd be like, keep like 4 of these for my main rig and then I'll beef up, you know, this other one and hook a buddy up with another kit and then sell the rest, you know?
Yeah. Pretty cool though. Again, $100 and again, don't take our advice on this because probably, I don't know how any of those, like I've seen some videos, but again, they're like, they're like
YouTube total videos. Junk. It's just trash.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like $100 return pallet. You might not even make that back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd always kind of wanted to, would you ever do that? Like, just be like, oh, $100, like I'll see what's on this pallet.
You're
see.
Asking the person. I mean, it's not a lot, but I've bought 2 storage units at auction before. So yes, I am the person that would but I don't do these. Like
we should pay for Ryan to get a return pallet of computer parts and see what's in it. That'd be a fun video.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And you have the space to get a pallet delivered.
I do. Yeah.
Okay. This is. I feel like this is the next Think Computers video right here.
Oh, that's It could be like, can we build a computer or like a gaming?
We're gonna look into this. We're gonna look into this.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I actually like this. I like this idea. We're gonna look into this and see how. Even if it's an electronics return pallet, we could figure something out.
Let's
keep this in the thing here because I like this idea.
All right, edit this out so nobody
So I like that, but pretty cool. Some gaming news. One, Valve is getting sued by the state of New York over loot boxes, which they say is gambling, which it can be. My biggest thing with like these, like, again, the state of New York, right? Like, shouldn't they like be solving crime?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably some bigger issues, right? But at the same time, it's so addictive, and you see how much money people spend on this stuff.
But like, so is like,
oh, I'm not disagreeing.
Like vaping and like other addictions and things like that. And I always feel with these like gaming stories, like this, it's just like,
you said it best, you know, addiction, like it's a form of addiction or can be.
And again, like Counter-Strike is not the only game that has loot boxes, right?
Well, they're suing Valve. Is it just related to Counter-Strike or is it because they, okay. So they,
yeah. Counter-Strike 2, Team Fortress 2, Dota 2. And the Valve profits billions by enabling this practice.
And maybe it's because it's targeted towards kids and, or could be said that it's targeted towards them. Although these titles are probably rated M for mature. So technically they shouldn't be playing the games. They're breaking the EULA of the game.
Yeah. And it's not like Valve is running these markets where you can buy this stuff. They don't run the third party markets where you can buy the skins. Like I said, old man says the New York government just wants their cut in taxes. Yeah. Like I said, I'm never a fan of these unless there's like real, you know, like there are certain games that are like very messed up and like could, you know, you could see government going after certain games because they're like very messed up games. But for the most part, like this gambling stuff or whatever, like I just feel like there's bigger fish to fry in the state of New York specifically, especially.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty, not a fan, not a fan at all. So bless you.
Thank you.
And the last thing, so you had consoles back in the day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was your last console that you had?
Xbox One.
Okay. So like the original Xbox, right?
Nope. No, the Xbox One.
Oh, okay. The Xbox One. So like Xbox, when you think of Xbox, what is the title you think of? There's probably
Halo.
Yeah, Halo, right?
Halo and Forza maybe, right?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. And like Gears of War. So those are the big they were exclusive. Now that like, you know, Microsoft Windows Gaming, like you can get the titles on whatever. Sure. But at the time, you bought Xbox, like you bought an Xbox for Halo.
Yep.
You bought a PlayStation, especially like OG PlayStation for like Crash Bandicoot and like
Gran Turismo,
Metal Gear Solid. Like those were the console exclusives. And because of the popularity of PC gaming, while those games might have initially come out on a PlayStation 5 or what is the latest one is Xbox?
Series X, I think.
Yeah, whatever. The latest Xbox, especially Xbox, because again, Microsoft owns Windows and they want people on whatever. But essentially, you know, you can get the Gears of War, you can get the Halos. They're all going to come to PC. On the Sony side, it was the same thing. Stuff that came out on PlayStation essentially gets ported over to PC because of its popularity, right? It looks like Sony may go back to exclusives, which I'm actually a fan of, to be honest. Like I said, the whole reason you bought certain consoles, especially back in the day, were the exclusives. You wanted that game. That game was hyped so hardcore, and it was the reason you bought the console. It was. And I feel like I just feel like those games are made better. I don't know about like recent games, but I feel like those exclusives were so good and were so just well-made games that maybe this switch back will bring back some of that really well-made game, really well-made storyline, things like that. But on top of that, I also think that the PC ports have been bad. Like over the years, like the PC port was like horrible.
I'm not a fan of any ports usually, but
and like all of the issues with like, again, if you're making a game for a specific console, you're making it for that specific hardware. Maybe with Xbox, there's like two different variations, or like, you know, you had a game that's coming out for both the newer PlayStation, the older, whatever. But like you're making it for that specific set of hardware. So it's fully optimized for that specific set of hardware. When you port it over to PC, there's all kinds of issues. There's obviously issues with like NVIDIA graphics card versus AMD graphics card. And now Intel, like there's just a lot more issues. It causes a lot more issues for the developer as well. And all of that. So I think having console exclusives is a good thing. And the whole reason, of course, for this is to boost sales of the console, right? That's right. The whole idea.
You get that title that nobody else has. The only way to play it is on our latest console.
Yeah. And Old Man said he had an Xbox Series X, but he sold it because everything he wanted to play was on PC. Yep. You know what I mean? So that's the same thing. It's like, well, if I know the it might be exclusive for like 6 months on the console, but you know it's going to come to PC. So like, there's no point in spending the money for the console. I can just wait a little bit. So I actually hope to see this happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as big of a fan.
All right. Well. We'll see what happens. This is just this is not official, but it's been reported that that's kind of what they're thinking about doing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
I get it though. It may be just think of like back further to like previous. Like if you wanted to play Mario, you got to have Nintendo. If you want to play Sonic, you got to have Sega, right? Like, so yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But that is our news for the week. Coming up next week, we have two interesting products. So I'll be taking a look at a case. This one's from MSI. This is their MagPano 120R PZ. Features a very big curved panel. Like this curved panel is huge. Comes with 7 included fans too, which is a lot. All pre-wired to a controller. I'll be talking about it. But yeah, it is a big case, or not like crazy big, but it's a bigger case, has that great curved panel, and it's less expensive than the original. I forget what the one I did the build in, but that thing was like a $500 case. This is half the price. So we'll have that for you. And then Ryan's taking a look at the Trix Stage, which got to see at both Computex and then at CES earlier this year as well. It finally came out. It's kind of hard to tell in the photo. You can't tell because it's like, but this is actually like you can put something here. So we'll be interested to see what Ryan puts on the little stage as a little figurine. But it just makes, you know, that's the one thing I really like about Trix is like AIOs are like, you know, you get the screen, you can have a curved screen. Like, what are they going to do this difference? This is a little bit different. Interested to see the performance as well. I know from the prototype, they upgraded the fans. So we'll see if they're any better. But Ryan,
they did well. The previous two Trix coolers that we looked at. So,
yeah. So you got the 360, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the 360. So we'll see that for next week as well. And then our question of the week, and we talked about, you missed it, Ryan, but you know, NVIDIA's putting out
the 3060.
They're putting out the 3060 again. They're making a 5050 with 9 gigabytes of VRAM. Again, like cost, everybody in the chat, Old Man and Cavity Creep were talking about how much their RAM cost compared to when they bought it. Steam Machine, who knows if it's coming out because of cost. Like, what's the positive outlook on the PC industry? Is there a positive outlook right now?
Man, I can't come up with one lately, other than that story about that isn't directly related to PCs, but in a maybe a little bit, right? That OpenAI pulling out of that Oracle build, right? Maybe you start to see that in other places where the back end of supporting an AI infrastructure and the demand for it can't meet up. So maybe there'll be some pullback, and maybe that slows down the gobbling up of this hardware, and maybe we can get some better pricing. Outside of that, I mean, there's not a lot to look forward to hardware wise right now, in my opinion.
Do you think
the nice thing is, though, is like cases aren't more expensive and peripherals aren't more expensive. So, that's a plus, I guess. Not every single component is more expensive.
Well, here's the thing. So if you think about that, right? Cases are going to remain the same price unless prices
metal,
metal or whatever. But like, okay, so all these other things remain the same price, and because people, again, our upgrade cycles are getting longer, right? Because we can't afford to buy a new computer every couple years, you know, because of the cost of RAM and SSDs. Do brands become more innovative when it comes to those products and put out better products so people are actually buying, you know, have a reason to buy them?
Maybe. I mean, we've seen, you know, so many cases come out with displays integrated or the ability to do it, and a lot of neat features with like Haven and oh my gosh, I can't think of the brand off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, I think that's
Yinwin?
A potential for sure. No, who's my cooler? Oh my gosh. They make the keyboard. No.
Oh, Height.
Height, thank you. Yeah, so maybe we see something like that, you know, unique designs and features.
I feel like that could be a saving grace of PC industry right now. But I was also thinking too, one good thing is like, because people are stuck without upgrading and their hardware is older, maybe things do get more efficient as far as like, you know, better coded apps or better coded things or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I also don't think, because they'll just push everything to the cloud. You know, let the cloud do the thing.
Well, the cloud can handle that. Yeah. Why do we need to be more efficient? We can just throw this hardware at it.
Yeah. Old man in the chat says there was an article about manufacturers going out of business because the supply price increases. Yeah. That's the thing, is like, it's going to be an interesting next couple of years in the PC industry. We might see some brands that we've known for years just go out of business. Right. And again, we've already seen brands who have a consumer footprint just go away. Crucial was one of them, obviously. Yeah. And we might see more of that, because again, and that's the biggest fear with NVIDIA, right? We've talked about it for years, is like, as gamers, sometimes we feel like we're getting less and less and less, because like all of their money and their output, even their output, is going towards AI, because that's where the money's at, right?
Yep.
So we'll see what, like I said, it's going to be an interesting next couple of years for sure. So what,
we used to have the GTX, now we got the RTX, and maybe we'll get like the ETX where it's like a VTX, I'm sorry, like a virtual graphics card. They don't even like release it, you know, like here's a picture of what it might look like.
Here's
a
picture of what it looks like in the rack
in the data center
that you pay.
Well, the one's not yours.
Yeah. that you pay to rent access to. Yeah. That's what I see those memes all the time.
See you got a speeding ticket, so you don't have access to your GPU right now.
Yeah. Your social credit score is
not allowing you to play these games.
Yeah. And like I said, you're harboring DDR5. We must find
harboring it. DDR5.
That meme is hilarious. I've seen that a bunch of times. But like then the meme is like, I bought it before the shortage in 2025. So yeah, but in any case, it's like I said, we'll see the next couple of years are gonna be pretty interesting, but of course we're gonna be here covering it all for you guys. So anything else tech related or anything like that?
No, I got a stack of AIOs that showed up, and so just gonna be working through those. I got the the Trike's Cooler, and then three others that just showed up, I think. Yeah.
Somebody
one
said
one from Azeroth and a couple from VTX, maybe the reality. It might.
It might. That's that like you, maybe like a year ago or
GeForce
even,
VTX. Yeah.
Like you didn't think that that might be a possibility of like, but it actually might. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, we've left. We are no longer selling GPUs. You can now rent the GPU completely. We're not putting out any new more GPUs.
Nope.
I don't think that would happen, but it's, you could see it happening. That's the thing. Like you don't think it's going to happen, but like you can see it happening.
That is not out of the realm.
Yeah. I saw a movie. It's on Netflix. It's called War Machine. It was pretty interesting. Okay. It's sort of like, I thought it was going to be a war movie because it's called War Machine, and it kind of is, but it's like a sci-fi movie. It's actually pretty good.
From 2026 or 2017?
2026.
Okay.
Yeah, just so it was good. I liked it. So if you want to see sort of like a sci-fi type of movie, it's actually pretty good. Okay. That's the only other tech thing. Like I said, I have a ton of reviews to get done. We're working on a ton of stuff. So obviously just stay tuned, check out the website. Remember we have that contest going on, and of course just follow us on social media. That's where everything goes, is up on social media. And yeah, guys, I have to make dinner, but are we gaming or do you want to game? Or
yeah, I can game.
So Ryan will be over on Twitch then. So, if you want to hang out with him for a little bit, I'm going to make dinner. But that's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. He'll be over there. I will be joining him after I make some dinner, and we will see everybody next week.